What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm your host, Javier. You probably already know this. If you're new to the show, welcome to this episode. If you are an ongoing listener, you've been listening to me, you're an OG, welcome back. Happy to have you supporting Facility Management Marketing Podcast. It's been awesome these past 18 months, and I'm looking forward for the next 18 plus months as well, too, on what, you know, happens, what kind of comes out of all of this. So today what we're going to be covering is, you know, how you can avoid the most common marketing problems that you're going to face within your facility or property management company.
So you're probably asking yourself, how to successfully grow a facility management company in today's digital age while still remaining profitable? You know that marketing should probably be in the mix, but you may not know the best approach, the newest strategies, or which digital platforms to market on. So how do you use marketing to grow your FM business today? That is a question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Javier Lozano Jr., and welcome to the Facility Management Marketing Podcast.
And so this can go across the board, but I'm going to give you examples, and I'm going to give you kind of like tips on, you know, like one thing, and then like, you know, what you can do to kind of prevent that. All right. And so this is nothing, not all of it's groundbreaking. Some of it's like, oh, I didn't think about that. So the first one is being consistent. And I actually just did an episode about consistency, an entire episode about consistency. So I'm not going to dive into this one too much, but that is something that is critical in marketing. I actually was talking to one of my peers this afternoon at work, and I just messaged her and was like, hey, do you have like 20 or 30 minutes to chat? Because I want to discuss something with you really quick. And she was, very kind to give up a little bit of her time. And it became almost like an exploratory session for both of us, you know, so. And, you know, I basically kind of came down to this is like, let me ask you something. What do you think is more valuable? Putting out the most valuable stuff out there and it's just inconsistent and in different times, but it's pretty good. Or consistently producing content that is solid, but on a regular basis, like with a strong cadence, like every single day or like, you know, every five days a week, whatever that is. And she's like, consistency, 100%. And so that is something that is underrated. In the marketing world, we get into this whole thing of like, well, you know, like it's got to be valuable. It's got to be really good. And I'm not saying that you need to produce garbage consistently. Like you should be producing good stuff that you're proud of consistently. But sometimes we get so caught up of like how something looks that it has to be so perfect. And then you lose this rhythm. And it's like, it's almost like exercise. Sometimes you just need to go to the fucking gym and work out. That's just kind of what it boils down to. Like if you get to like, well, I don't want to squat too heavy because tomorrow I'm going to ride my bike. So I'm going to squat lighter. No, just fucking lift, you know, like, and that is the problem is that we get into this whole rhythm of like, it has to be perfect. It has to be better when consistency is going to create that perfection and consistency is going to give you insight on demand. It's going to share the knowledge that you're looking for of like, oh, when I consistently produce and post this type of content, these are the learnings that I'm getting. When I post this type of stuff, these are the learnings that I'm getting. But when you do it inconsistently, you're not getting valuable things that you can actually pinpoint on. Okay. So consistency is critical. So that means like, posting on LinkedIn consistently, 5 days a week, 3 days a week, 7 days a week, whatever that number it is, but it's consistently on like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, whatever it is. Like, but you got to pick that, okay? Or sending that weekly email every Saturday or whatever that is. Like, you've got to find those things that you just like, this is what we do, hell or high water, no matter what, consistently, okay? All right. The next one is doing the research. A lot of times, this is the least active thing that people do. And whenever you don't do enough research, you go into situations where you're like, oh, fuck, I put myself in the wrong. I painted myself into a corner and this is not good. And this is very common for novice to, you know, not experienced marketers where they don't dive in to actually do the right research. like having the right people write content, or looking at the right sites to, you know, to capture stuff, like, or looking into insights, like whatever it is, but like doing the research before you start posting things. And one of the things that I did in my career, like I started working in the facility services industry and never being in there. And I started posting content, I would probably say like, I don't know, a few weeks, maybe about a month or so later, after I kind of started getting myself wet in the industry, to the point where about 6 to 8 months later, people are like, you seem like you've been in this industry for about 10 or 15 years. I'm like, nah, it's been like less than a year. And people were, their jaws were dropping. They're like, that's not possible. I go, no, I really pay attention and I really do a lot of research and I see what's going on. Like it's in my blood, to do research. Like my wife even, you know, laughs at me whenever I'm like, I get like caught up on things while I'll like, oh, I wonder what about this. And then she'll say, are you researching right now? I'm like, yeah. And then I'll research so much to the point where I have a very strong knowledge where I can almost speak like an expert about what I'm talking about. Now you might be saying like, did you research marketing? And then you're not really an expert. No, I'm an expert. But like I did, you know, at the top first learning, I was like, okay, figure this out, research, read blogs, watch videos, ask questions, do courses, all those things. And you should be doing the same thing as well too for your facility company, where you're putting in the time to understand something, you know, whether that's like knowledge in the field and actually like, hey, I've done this enough times where I can literally just regurgitate this stuff sleeping. And that's the type of research you want to kind of have. And sometimes you're not going to have that because you don't have the experience or knowledge in the field, which is okay. Then you need to put the time into getting that. Now you don't have to put in like 2000 hours, but you need to put in, you know, a strong handful of hours from strong resourceful places that you can get some good knowledge out of it. So just doing the good research. All right, the third thing is ignoring gurus. And so I'm not saying ignore me, but like I'm not an expert in what your company does, but I'm an expert in the industry when it comes to marketing. Okay. And I'm an expert when it just comes to like B2B marketing and B2C marketing, because I've been in both industries and have been very successful for both of them. Now, does that mean that you should always ignore everything I say? No, you should take what I'm teaching you with a grain of salt. You should say, okay, what Javier is talking about is valid. It makes sense. Now, how do I apply concepts or models or things that he mentions to our business? Because our business is a little different from what he's describing or what he's talking about. And that's okay. And so it's very important to understand that you don't always have to listen to gurus, okay? Sometimes they're wrong and sometimes they don't really know your business. And so it's one of those where, you know, like for instance, like our company, Wrapmate, we're in the vehicle wrap space, but we leverage technology to essentially fulfill what we're trying to do, to try like what our mission is. Now, we can't like benchmark our numbers with other wrap installation shops because we're doing things at a scale that none of them have ever been able to do in the history of wrapping vehicles. This is not a knock on them. This is just a limitation of like, you have a brick and mortar location. We do not. Like, we don't physically wrap vehicles. We find ways to partner with pros to actually do that work. It's the same thing with like a facility management company. You don't physically do the actual labor unless you're like, you know, you're one of those companies that has everything, in-house or whatever, self-perform as opposed to subcontract. You know, I'm not knocking one or the other, but self-performing doesn't necessarily mean it's better. It just means that like, you know, I guess what I'm trying to, you know, share here is that the self-performing piece of it, it's good. It's great, whatever it is, but you're going to be limited to where you have people in those locations. Just like if you had a brick and mortar location, you're limited to how much you can serve in your area. When you use technology, when you leverage other resources, you're able to expand more. And so what I'm saying here is that like sometimes gurus are going to be wrong about what their experience is. So you got to take what they're saying with a grain of salt, understand that they're coming with the right angle and the right approach, most of them, hope. But like not all of them are going to be right. All right. Next thing is over communicate. And so you need to get used to over communicating as much as possible. and you need to share, this is what marketing is doing. These are our initiatives. These are our strategic goals for this quarter. This is how we're going to achieve these numbers. This is what we're going to be putting into it. This is how much budget's going to be going towards this. This is, you've got to over communicate everything so that people don't say, well, I didn't know we were going to do this. Why is this happening? And then there are times whenever you don't want to communicate too much, because then you start opening Pandora's box and it just becomes like some sort of gnarly shit that comes out of this. But you want to over communicate on like strategies and concepts. You don't need to go into details on like the tactical and like, this is how we're going to do it, you know, inch by inch. Like, hey, this is how we're going to beat this team. And these are the three things that we're going to do to beat this team. It's the same concept. So when you over communicate with your team, that allows you to position yourself in a better spot to where they're like, okay, marketing has got what, you know, understands what we're, you know, what they're doing. They're in line with what our revenue goals are. They're in line with our company initiatives and values and brand. And this is going to help us get there. Now, you know, how they execute upon that, like, that's going to be on them. But like the concepts and ideas of what they've put together, the strategies, that all makes sense. And we can see a dotted line towards revenue. And so over communicating is huge. And if you can get really good at that, and there's times whenever I'm not very strong at this, like there's times whenever I get in my little world and I'm just kind of like just knocking shit out. And all of a sudden people are like, when did this happen? And I was like, oh, you know, whenever, you know, last week. Well, we didn't know about that. Okay. Well, you did, but we talked about it and I told you, and I just forgot to reiterate that, you know, we did it. So what I typically try to do is I try to put like, you know, progress or like strategies or initiatives in our marketing channel. And so we have a marketing channel in Slack, and in that channel, like basically people can kind of see, oh, cool, you're doing this. Oh, neat, you're doing that. Like that makes sense. And so that's kind of what I'm saying is like, if you over communicate some things, like it gives you an opportunity to kind of like, see, like, this is what we're doing. I already mentioned this before. It covers your ass as well too. So that's something that I'm really strong on with my CEO as well too, where I over communicate with him and I kind of share what's going on or like the angles or what I need from him. And then whenever he comes to me like, hey, you haven't done this. I'm like, well, you haven't provided me what I need. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I totally forgot about that. I'm like, it's fine. I'm just waiting on you. And again, not a knock or anything like that. Like, dude's busy. I'm busy. Like, I'm not going to keep pushing it on him to be like, hey, did you get this done? Did you get this done? Because he's got other shit to do. And I've got things to focus on as well too. But when you do over communicate, all of a sudden, like, people start like trusting you even more. So that's huge. All right. Practicing your craft. I can't emphasize this enough. This is one of the main reasons why I podcast, is because I'm practicing my craft. And this is something I used to always tell people when I was running a martial arts studio back in 2008 to 2018, is that I felt like I got better at martial arts when I started teaching more, not when I was practicing more. Because when you're practicing, all of a sudden, what you're doing is you're just thinking for yourself. But when you're teaching, you got to break things down in a manner that is digestible to other people. And then as you're breaking things down, your mind is like, oh shit, that's really interesting. I just figured something out myself. And then you start getting better at like not just teaching it, but then doing it, because you're like, you just kind of knew how to do something, but then also you missed some nuances. But when you had to break it down for someone to understand, you're like, this makes more sense now. And then you start doing it that way. So I know it says like practice your craft, but practicing your craft are different things. It might be you doing something on the side, like a side gig. It might be you having a podcast. It might be you building your own personal brand on LinkedIn in front of everybody. It might be you posting blogs on a regular basis. But whatever the case is, like, you're practicing your craft. You're working on refining your stuff. So like, not only are you going to the gym, but you're also helping other people. So practicing your craft can be two different things. It could be like application and it could be teaching. Okay. So keep that in mind, that if you want to get better at this whole marketing game, you probably want to consider about teaching more often on what you're doing. And even if you don't have a podcast, maybe you teach it to your team. You say, hey guys, this is what we're going to start doing. I'm going to kind of show you how I did this, or this is what I learned last month when I was, you know, watching this course, and I want to implement this with the team. So let's try to execute this, and we're going to do this together. And you're practicing your craft as a team. And so those are ways and how you can improve to overcome problems in marketing within your facility or property company. Okay. All right. Next is prioritizing storytelling. So not enough people tell stories. And as you can probably tell, how many stories have I told so far in this podcast episode? And we've covered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things. And I've told stories for every single one of them. I had a story about my colleague and I for the first one about consistency. I had a story about doing research. Had a story about doing, you know, and it may not be a personal story, but I'm telling stories or examples. So that you guys can kind of like, oh, I get this. You need to get used to telling stories in everything that you do. When you communicate vocally, there needs to be a story behind it. Like when I was teaching martial arts at a professional level, running my own studio, I told stories to kids all the time. You're like, well, you're talking to kids, Javier. How the fuck do you think I got really good at marketing and sales and storytelling? Because like, in order to get those people to not just sign up, but to keep paying you and to keep showing up and all this other stuff and to achieve their goals, you had to tell them stories that were like, man, I want that. I want to achieve that. And my stories would always get better and better and better. And so those are things that need to carry into your marketing. And so you need to tell your customer stories. You need to tell your own personal stories, like your own personal stories. You need to tell the stories of your CEO. You need to find ways to kind of interject stories and things that kind of people look as like, that's inspiring, that's amazing, that's powerful. When you get better at telling stories, it gets easier at selling and marketing, because all you're doing is just bullshitting. It's just like, you know, your grandma, or your grandpa, where they're telling you these things and you're just like enthralled with what they're saying. You're like, man, this is amazing. Like, it was like that back then. And when you tell these stories, people are just, sometimes they're inspired. They're amazed. They're like, this is insane. I can't believe this. This is great. And you just got to get better at doing that. And so that's something that I've really prioritized a lot when it comes to my marketing, is trying to find ways and how I can tell a story. And it can be a short story. It just, there needs to be something to do it well. And you may or may not be a biblical person, but Jesus teaches the entire New Testament with Jesus in it is essentially all parables and stories. That's pretty much it. Because whenever they would challenge him with something, he basically would say, okay, let me tell you this story. And the reason he told stories is because it is the easiest way to grasp concepts. No matter what you are and what stage you're on in your life, you're like, ah, that makes sense. Stories change the game. And I guarantee your competitors are not doing that. All right. All right. The next one, embrace distractions. So the thing here is that we all face it. Like, I'm a content producer, but I'm also a content absorber. Like I read content, but I do it in a different way. I read content not to like make my mind blank out and just, you know, not pay attention. I read content more along the lines of, that's a good idea. I should talk about that. I like that topic. I don't read content to like just, you know, lose out, but I look at it from the lens of a content creator. But it's still a distraction whenever you have projects and tasks. And so what you want to kind of keep in mind is that you need to keep your big items the big items. And like for us, every week, what we do is we have a tactical meeting on Mondays where our leadership team will sit down and be like, hey, this is what we're focusing on this week. Boom, 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 boom. Now, my list might be like, some people say like, well, you should keep your list of 3. You know what? There are some things on my list that I can get done literally in maybe a half a day. And if I kept it down to 3, the other 2 may not take that long either. And then like, what the fuck am I going to do? So I'll kind of overpile some things. I'll put like 6, 7, 8 things on there, knowing that I just need like 10% more to get this over the goal line and push this thing over the edge and just be done with it. So when I do that, that allows me to kind of be like, okay, progress done. Now, right now, I'm kind of tracking all this on a Google Sheet, and I just kind of mark it off daily. And then every week, I've been report on it on the end of the week and like what I've accomplished. Now, we'll be putting that into Asana so that there's more visibility within our leadership team to kind of see what's going on and what we're doing. But again, it just kind of gives my CEO the opportunity to kind of oversee what's going on, like on a transparent kind of basis. Excuse me. And then the last one is taking a little bit of risk. You've got to take risks. And if you want to be successful and become a CMO one day, or director of marketing, or VP of marketing, you need to be a risk taker. Now, I'm not saying you need to be risking everything and everything you do. I'm not implying that. I'm simply saying that you need to take the time to like, I need to challenge myself. I need to take this risk. I need to do this. And when you start doing that more often, what you're doing is that you're training your mind to essentially start kind of overstepping. And it's kind of like that, I need to do that one last final squat, even though my legs were like almost buckling. I need to do that last, you know, bench press. I need to do that last 0.25 or not 0.05 mile to hit 4 miles. Like, you need to take a little bit more risk, and it's okay to do that with marketing. And it's something that you just need to communicate with your team and with your leader as well too. And just say like, listen, I'm going to kind of try to run everything to a degree as conservative as possible, being smart, you know, but there are going to be things that we're going to be doing that's going to be risk. And so there needs to be a level of risk tolerance that you're okay with. Now, this risk that I'm going to be doing is not necessarily going to be like burning cash, but what it means is that it could be like, we might be trying these styles of posts. We might be trying these types of emails. We might be doing this. We might be trying to get these types of leads, and we're going to try different things or whatever it is. But like, you've got to be okay with it. And you've got to be okay with like, fuck, that didn't work. Like, for instance, you know, a few months ago, we implemented webinars into our sales cycle. And like, leads that were coming in that weren't converting by the AEs, we'd put them into like a webinar series to see if that would push them over. And it wasn't working. We ran this for like 2 to 3 months solid, like doing everything we could to get people to show up, and nothing. Like, it was not delivering the way I was anticipating for it to deliver. And it was a little bit of risk because I had to put time into creating the webinar. I had to put time weekly in actually producing the webinar. Had to put time to market the webinar, like every single week. I had to put time to reaching out to people, like that sort of stuff. Like, this was not just one of those like, well, you didn't waste any money, but yeah, my time is super valuable because I could have put that time somewhere else. And so you've got to take risks in different things, or like maybe going to a conference. Now, I'm not saying all conferences are worth it, but like, some conferences definitely not worth it. Others, like, it's expensive. Like, we have a conference that we're looking at going to. That's going to run us like 15 grand just for 2 people, no booth or anything like that. It's a different format. And so that's risk for us because that's a lot of money to shell out. But there's such a high reward if we land just one customer, where it can be several hundred thousands of dollars, even million. And so what I want to share here is that you need to be okay with that. And when you take risks and you actually do hit a home run, it's going to be huge. Where the other things that you didn't hit, they're going to, you know, brush off and be like, who cares? Didn't matter. You hit this big one right here, baby. And so these are ways in how you can overcome most of the problems that take place in marketing for your facility or property company. As you get better, these things can become a little bit easier. But there's things that you're still kind of practicing and harnessing your skills at, and trying to like sharpen your blade, if you will. So don't be afraid of making mistakes at any part of your journey. Like, be okay with making these mistakes. Like, you know, we had a mistake that happened today because of some things that we did 2 days ago that we had no idea. And this kind of landed on me, but wasn't really necessarily my fault because I didn't see things kind of like the ripple effect that could have affected this. I won't go into detail about it, but the point is that you're going to go through these things and it's going to be stressful. And you're going to be like, fuck, am I going to get fired for this? No, probably not. Okay. But like, you just got to, if you do these things, you over-communicate and you're doing your research and you're practicing your craft and you're doing the right things and you're embracing like, you know, different stuff, like That's huge, all right? And then the last one, I actually skipped this one by accident, is embrace distribution. I'm sorry, I already talked about... I said embrace distraction, and I said... and it should have been embrace distribution. I misread this completely. Embrace distribution. So if we're talking about distractions, I apologize. It's embrace distribution. And distribution is basically finding ways on how to push your content out in different channels. You need to actually get used to like posting them in different places, whether it's via email or on social media, not just living and dying on your blog, on podcasts, micro chopping it, like all these different things. Okay. So anyways, I'm going to go ahead and end this right now. So three things that I ask at the end of my podcasts. Number one, please give us a 5-star review on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you're finding this valuable, if you're like, man, Javier is coming with some really good stuff, like, I'd love to hear this. Number two, connect with me on LinkedIn and actually send me messages. Like, I've had people actually send me messages recently saying like, hey, I'm digging this one episode that you're talking about Star Wars and stories and stuff like that. Like, I love how you're doing that. This is how my mind thinks. I'm like, sweet. And what does that tell me? I need to get into probably producing more episodes about storytelling. And so these are great things to do, like to hear. So connect with me on LinkedIn, send me a message, ask me what kind of, you know, what kind of episodes you might want to hear next time, and I'll probably produce them. And then the third thing, to share this podcast with somebody else. Like, this podcast is growing. We're on the verge of hitting 5,000 downloads. I mean, this thing is amazing. It's only been around for 18 months. Apparently, most podcasters that actually try to start one, they don't make it past 20. That's about 99% of podcasters don't make it past 20 episodes. And so anyone that makes it past 20 episodes, you're considered a one percenter. We're a fucking one percenter. Not just me, but like even you, because you guys are the reason why that I continue to produce this content, because everyone that keeps listening to this podcast is enjoying what I'm producing. And I keep seeing the downloads and I keep seeing the comments and I keep seeing the DMs. And I'm like, this is cool. So I appreciate it, and we got to continue to grow this. And so, like, with that said, if you can do those three things, it'd be great. Other than that, hope you have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking a listen to our Facility Management Marketing Podcast Secrets. This is your host, Javier Lozano Jr. One other ask I've got for you guys is to subscribe to our email list. You can go to bouldermediasolutions.com/email. And that way you can get updates on some marketing trends that I'm seeing, some strategies that I'm executing. And more importantly, I'll be actually launching some webinars and training that's going to help your company use marketing strategies to essentially grow your business. We'll be doing some training, offering some courses, that sort of stuff. So you can always unsubscribe to that email list. It's no big deal. It's not going to hurt my feelings. This is more for facility management companies that want to grow their business by using marketing. All right, guys, thanks a lot and have a great one.